You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. We are starting to come into the right time of the year for Echo Base. It's starting to get colder outside, and so the ambiance of the Echo Base podcast is even more appropriate than ever. And we've got some big news this week, so that's awesome.
Big news.
Big news. Fantastic news. Unfortunately, Lou is not with us. I mean, he's not like passed on or anything. He's just he's not here with us tonight. So
in other words, he didn't check in with the base before he.
That's right. He just took a tauntaun and, you know, decided to wander out past the fifth marker and, yep. You know, hey, we're closing the doors here at the end of the show. He's going to have to fend for himself. I'm not going to go and camp out and slice open a tauntaun and crawl into it.
Yeah.
He saw the movie. Oh, well. He knows how to do it himself. Yeah. So what's been going on with you?
Not a lot, actually. Just the same old stuff.
Yeah.
No. Nothing too exciting in the Star Wars universe, unfortunately.
I've been trying to catch up with Rebels.
Okay, yeah. I caught up last night.
Okay. I still have the second half of episode 3 to finish. Wait, no, 3 was the one with Wedge?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm halfway through episode 4. And then 5 just came out.
With
Hera and Thrawn.
Heroes.
Yeah. You know, I love Rebels. I love Rebels. But I'm having a hard time connecting with it this season, and I think it's just that it needs to be an hour-long show instead of a half-hour-long show.
Well, it's funny that you mention that, because literally, let me go, I just had a Twitter conversation with someone.
Easy for you to say.
Chris, who is from the Far Far Away radio network,
mm-hmm.
He tweeted, he said, just watch the latest Star Wars Rebels, which is The Last Battle. It was okay, but the show keeps taking great ideas and telling them way too quick.
Yeah.
And I said, I actually agree. I always feel like the endings are kind of rushed. He says, really liked the idea behind this last episode, but it was over before it barely started. No emotional payoff. And I said, I 100% agree.
Well, it was the same thing for I haven't finished the one with Hera and Thrawn, but it was the same thing for the one where they got Wedge
mm-hmm.
and Hobby. And I thought it was the same thing for the first two episodes, too. I like the show and I love the concepts they're introducing. But man, tell a story. Don't just give us a 20-minute synopsis.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, with the Clone Wars, they used to do 3-part story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2-part story arcs, or 4-part story arcs. Why can't we get the same sort of thing in Rebels? And if it's because they need to hit certain milestones by certain points in time, Because I know they've got the end of Rebels, like they know how they're going to end it and they know how they're going to move into whatever the next series is going to be. And that's, mm-hmm. that's great. But in the meantime, like, let the stories be stories.
Yeah.
Let them flow and roll out over a period of time where we feel connected to those stories, where those stories become a part of us as fans. Because right mm-hmm. now, I mean, we've connected with the characters well enough, but I mean, I hate to say it, but as much as I didn't care that much for season one because it didn't seem to go anywhere, the characters were easier to connect to. And it's fortunate that we already have those character connections, because right now everything seems so rushed that mm-hmm. we wouldn't be able to do that coming into it now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, maybe they're setting something up for, you know, later in the season, but I do agree. I kind of feel like Rebels, at least at the start, is fine with all of this. You know, we're just telling individual stories for each episode. So maybe we're having like an overall arc of where we're kind of like dropping hints here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like at this point, especially after what happened last season in that finale.
Yeah.
I feel like, and the way they started it, I feel like they could, you know, like you said, start telling more arced episodes and,
right.
you know, every now and then have this bit of filler that, you know, brings up some character development. But, you know, I love Rebels too, but it's not something that is like right now crucial. And I know that's a bad word to use, but nothing, like you said, everything feels rushed.
Right.
And
we're not
really,
we're not dissing it. We're not trying to, oh, this sucks. I mean, it doesn't suck. It's more like we're family members who are trying to intervene on mm-hmm. Because we love the other family members so much that we want it to be taken care of, and we want it to be you know, we want to show it love by trying to you know, point out what's going on that's adversely affecting it. And I mean, it sounds like you agree. I wonder what Lou's opinion of it would be. We'd have to talk to him maybe next episode, but it feels like it's I mean, it's hurting the show.
Mm-hmm. One thing, I don't know if you are, do you watch Doctor Who?
Yes, though I have not caught up with this last season.
Okay. So, this past season was, because people had kind of, not really complaints about the 12th Doctor. They were just mm-hmm. kind of complaining about his introduction season and
yeah.
that it just wasn't as good. Well, this past season was like really highly regarded, at least from what I've seen. And I think it was probably one of the best seasons of the modern day show. And,
wow.
One unique.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen all, but like maybe the last three or four episodes of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was that good. I mean, it was definitely better than the previous one, but it's like, if someone is sitting there and bashing your foot with the hammer, and then the next time you see them, they stop. Obviously, that's going to be a better visit with them than the first one. So, yeah, the show's improved.
But what I was saying is that I like how they split up each episode into two parts.
Yes, so, yes,
so
that was good.
One and two was an arc. Three and four was an arc. Five and six was an arc, and so on until you got to the finale, which was, again, a two-part thing. And so you didn't have to worry about telling everything in, you know, a span of 45, 50 minutes.
Right.
Like you normally would have to do. And, you know, Doctor Who can be pretty good at that, but there are also times where it's just like, really, I spent 40 minutes watching that.
Yeah.
So.
And it would be wonderful if Rebels would do that.
Yeah, I don't want Rebels to always be, you know, two and three part episodes, but I mean, don't be afraid to do it, you know?
And that's the thing. It's something that we saw constantly with Clone Wars, and almost not at all with Rebels.
Yeah.
That just seems odd to me.
Yeah, the only time they really do the arcs is with, like, premieres and finales.
Yeah.
Which may, you know, maybe it has, I don't know if it has something to do with the target demographic, but given it how popular Rebels has become with just general Star Wars fans and not people that would normally watch Disney XD, you know, you would think they would not necessarily cater to that crowd, but kind of listen to their voice maybe a little bit more.
Right. Well, I mean, arguably it's the same crowd that was there for Clone Wars. And so if it worked in Clone Wars, it should work here.
And who knows, too, what Disney is saying on their end.
Yeah.
As far as demographic and what they want from their channel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
because it's that's a true. Completely different beast than Cartoon Network was.
I tell you what, when we next time we talk to Mr. Filoni, we'll have to ask him about that. I'm sure it's a conscious decision, and I'm sure there's some sort of a reason behind it. But I would love to find out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get into the news, anything else?
Yeah, I do want to say one hopefully small thing. So on our Slack channel earlier, Zachary was talking about how he has a theory about Rey's parentage.
Okay.
And he said, because he's reading Life Debt, apparently. And he said, what if Rey is named after her mother and just got the spelling wrong because she'd never seen it written? So in other words, what if she's Sloane's kid? Rey Sloane.
Hmm.
Because apparently Sloane remarks about always wishing she had a family, and it would explain Rey's what he called imperial accent. Now, someone did bring up, just because it is a fact, that would require, because Rey is a white female, and Rey Sloane is not. So that would require me not saying that if you have an interracial couple that it's going to be, you know, one color this or mixed or whatever. But that is the only kind of hinge in the theory. But he wanted it to be known that if it somehow became true, that it was his thought.
And that's okay. Where it originated. So if we don't like it, we can all blame him.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think it's a fine theory, but I'm more hoping that it's either Kenobi or nobody at all.
Here's the thing. If it's Sloane, Rey Sloane, and I like the character, but there's no real connection there. Like, okay. Yeah. I can see where you could generate a train of logic to come to that conclusion, but it feels kind of meaningless. And I guess I would rather her parentage is going to have specific meaning. If she is related to the Skywalkers, if she is a descendant of Obi-Wan, and I'm fine with that idea as well. If there's something like that, then great. Make that a thing. But if it's going to be inconsequential, like if she is Sloane's daughter, then that doesn't really add anything to her character journey. It adds a little bit to Sloane's character journey, but Sloane is not such a prominent character yet in the universe that really matters. Partially because she is, I mean, I hate to say it, but she's a character from the books, and the books don't get as much attention as the films.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's going to be like that, I would rather just say, hey, she's the daughter of, you know, Bill and Mary Smith.
Yep.
Or something like that. Just have it be not a thing. Don't have it be somewhere in between. And that's not at all a commentary on the Rey Sloane character. That's just saying if it's if her, we see the Force being passed down generation to generation. She is so strong in the Force that the implication then is that she has some Force heritage in her family, in her lineage. In that respect, it's relevant. And in that case, that's great. Go with it. But if that's not going to be a thing, then make the whole who her parents thing, who her parents are thing, make it as irrelevant and non-distracting as you can and move on. Because frankly, if that is not important, then I don't care about it because it doesn't matter. I mean, if she is a Skywalker, it matters. If she is related to Kenobi, it matters. But if, I mean, if she's related to Snoke, if she's Snoke's daughter, okay, it matters.
Yeah.
But outside of that Force relations, it doesn't matter at all. So let's not make a thing of it. Let's move on to the important aspects of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Zachary, that's a very insightful analytical approach to it, her being Sloane's daughter. And I don't have a problem with it other than that it seems to make a big deal out of nothing. Though, to be fair, it's the fans that are making such a big deal out of who her parents are, not anybody else. I mean, Lucasfilm has been very much, just don't worry about that right now.
Yeah. Someone actually said, I think it was recently, I don't know who it was, but they said that apparently we'll find out in like a year who her parents are, or at least be closer to it. I mean, that's when, you know, episode 8 comes out. So I guess we'll have to see. But honestly, I don't care. I like her who, no matter who her parents are. That has nothing to do with anything. I'll just be a little bit disappointed if she's Luke's kid or a Skywalker or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, to
if
say
she's not, if she's not a Skywalker, that means that everyone that, like, you know, made a big deal about, oh yeah, she's definitely a Skywalker, I can point and laugh at them and say, haha, you were wrong.
Yeah, I would honestly, I would rather her be Sloane's daughter than to be Luke's daughter or something like that. It just seems too easy.
Yep.
You've got Yoda, you've got Palpatine, you've got various different Force users throughout the galaxy that have been very, very powerful. Why does it have to be that everybody who's powerful in the movies is somehow a Skywalker?
Yep.
Not that that's really happened, but that's the perception of what's happened. So let's not feed that perception any further.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's my take on it. I agree with you. I don't want to see her be a Skywalker. I'd rather see her be a descendant of Kenobi. And at first, I really didn't like that idea. But over time, I'm really warming up to it a lot. I think it makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of the news. We have one of the biggest casting announcements, honestly, in recent history. And, I mean, I put this right up there with any of the casting announcements from episode 7. I know that people would disagree, but, with very specific reason, it is now official that Donald Glover, best known from Community. Also, Childish Gambino is his,
Gambino.
That's his musical, what's the word for it? Not username, moniker.
Yep.
And, the new show, he's got a new series Atlanta. On television right now, Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Which is, continues to get phenomenal critical acclaim. So he has now been cast as Lando in the upcoming Star Wars Han Solo spinoff. I'm sorry, not spinoff. not anthology. Han Solo, a Star Wars story, yet it's a Star Wars story that has not been officially named Han Solo, a Star Wars story.
So, in other words, what you're telling me is that not only is this a reason that I can finally be a little bit motivated to go see this movie, but it might not actually be just about Han Solo.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I'd kind of rather have a Han and Lando movie than a Han movie.
Well, I find that fiction where you have two characters that play off of one another, mm-hmm. is much more interesting, because life is about two things. Life is about experiences, and it's about relationships. And ideally, it is about shared experiences with other people with whom you have a relationship. So to me, if I'm going to connect with a show or a book or a comic series or a movie, whatever it is, I prefer things that have more than just one main character. And I prefer something where they're going through an experience together.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of having Han and Lando. Now, yeah, you could argue Han and Chewie. I hate to say it, all due respect to the Chewbacca lovers out there, but Chewie's wonderful.
Yep.
But from a literary point of view,
He's limited.
He's very limited in his ability to move along the storytelling. Now, it's not that he can't move along the storytelling, but he nudges it along more than he really carries it along.
Mm-hmm.
So Lando, having Han and Lando, I think would be a lot more interesting.
I 100% agree.
Now, you've also got so you've got three different things here. Number one, the fact that Donald Glover's cast as Lando means Lando's in the film. So that's one news story. Number two, Donald Glover being cast is another news story. Mm-hmm. And then number three, the fact that Lando is going to be in the film leads a lot of people to jump to the conclusion, which may be very correct, that an aspect of this film is going to involve Han winning the Falcon from Lando in a Sabacc game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pivotal off-screen moment in Star Wars lore.
Yeah.
So
it'd be nice to finally have some continuity with that and Empire when he says, you know, you've got a lot of nerve coming back here after the trick you pulled.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice because it would make that particular scene of the film resonate differently.
Mm-hmm.
And in that manner, I support this sort of thing.
Yep.
Otherwise it's kind of like, you know, now you're just kind of, you know, giving a nod to something or you're hitting certain marks that you feel like you have to hit out of obligation. This, mm-hmm. on the other hand, like you said, for that scene, it would actually make the meaningfulness of that scene change.
Yeah.
And in theory, improve. So that's another aspect of this. Let's talk about Donald Glover, though. Are you familiar with anything he's done?
Yes, I've seen Community. I plan to at some point watch Atlanta, and I've listened to his music.
Okay. I have voraciously consumed Community.
Mm-hmm.
Very upset that he left the show. And I've heard a little bit of his music, enough to respect the artistic value of it, but not on a personal level appreciate the entertainment value of it. So it's something I've always meant to come back to. And Atlanta is on my short list of the new shows to catch up on, of which I have several. But that is definitely in that list solidly. I've also seen some of his stand-up. I love his stand-up. And
yeah, that's one thing I've not seen. I've seen like maybe bits and pieces, but I hear it's good.
It's good. He has a charisma. He carries the audience very well.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to go, some comedians have to go like really over the top. Like Robin Williams, of course, is considered one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. But he kind of like gets worked up into a frenzy when he's when he's on stage and when he's doing the comedy. Different comedians have different tactics, I guess. But Donald Glover seems to be, at least for me as an audience member, he hits that right amount of telling the jokes, but then also feeling like you're directly engaging the audience without having to feed off the audience necessarily, which I know is something comedians are supposed to do, but it's as an audience member, I want the comedian to feed me. And so he strikes that perfect balance, I think. And his jokes are funny, which also helps. I think this is great casting. I know a lot of people were kind of on the fence about it. I think that he's going to nail this.
I agree.
I can't think of a better casting option for this. I mean, he's got the delivery down. He understands timing. He understands body language. And of course, body language and presentation is something that Lando has always been. That's always been a thing about Lando, thanks in large part to Billy Dee Williams. But I think that if anybody's going to play Lando, they've got to have that ability to carry the character the right way.
I agree.
And I think that Donald Glover as an actor, he gets that. He understands that acting is not just about delivering lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he gets all of those other aspects that go along with it. I think this is such a brilliant move. He wasn't my first choice. My first choice was Justin Bolger, but alas, perhaps he could be an understudy. But I think this is just phenomenal news. This is great.
So how much do you want to bet that we'll see Lando rap?
In the film?
Yeah.
No, not going to happen. The gag reel? Oh, totally. Yeah, in the film, though? Yeah, no, that's never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. Ever.
That'd be an interesting soundtrack choice.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe, okay, here's an idea. So in the special edition of Return of the Jedi, instead of Lapty Neck and Jedi Rocks, you have a new composition by Donald Glover. Huh?
I'm okay with that. I mean, you can't get any worse than Jedi Rocks. You just can't. I've argued so hard to get Lapty Neck back in there. But, you know. I mean, there are so many better. I'd rather get Justin Bieber in there than Jedi Rocks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We could get that. They could just play that little clip of Yoda with the stormtroopers and the hip hop music.
Yeah.
You remember that from the, was it the DVD for episode one? Because they were using it as a proof of concept for episode two?
I think it was two. Because I think it had clone troopers. I might be wrong. I don't know.
I don't have the DVDs.
I still have them on VHS.
Yeah.
So
the clip I thought was something that ILM threw together as a proof of concept for some of the higher performance CG rendering for Yoda, because in episode one, he was part puppet and part CG. Mm-hmm. There was only one scene after the funeral, I think, where he's approaching Obi-Wan at the end, where he was CG in the original film. I mean, I know they've changed it and stuff, but so I thought it was before episode two, because in episode two, of course, he's bouncing around with his lightsaber and all that. I mean, at that point, it was pretty well proven what they could do with the CG for Yoda. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Anyway, yeah, throw that in instead of Jedi Rocks. I'd be happy. Or, you know, Enya. The remaining members of the Beastie Boys.
Silence.
What, paint drying?
Yeah.
Paint drying. That would be good.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. Oh, that would be an improvement. Mm-hmm. And like lay down a techno drum track in the background.
There you
go. And the nails on chalkboard. Maybe a little dubstep remix of it. Dude.
I think we're onto something.
I We're on to something, or we're on something, one of the two. All right. So that's great news. Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian. And of course, I'm sure at some point soon we're going to get comments from Billy Dee Williams on what he thinks about that. Because, of course, he, rightfully so, is very protective of that role. And I support that. But I got to say, Mr. Williams, if anybody is going to fill your shoes on this one, I think they chose someone who can do it well.
Yep.
Speaking of the Star Wars so-called anthology films, Joss Whedon, who turned down the opportunity to direct The Force Awakens, has now said that he would be interested in making an anthology film. So he said he was talking about, being asked to do The Force Awakens, and he's like, Star Wars? Yeah, not going to touch that. He goes on to say, but then I saw the trailer for Rogue One a while ago, and I was like, I want to do that, to make a Star Wars movie and not be wed to the bigger picture. And I think that among the other aspects of these anthology films, such as ways of opening up new genres of film, new, you know, you can do the heist film, you can do the more hard sci-fi film as opposed to space fantasy. You can do the murder mystery route. I mean, there's so many different ways you could go with Star Wars once you step outside of that Luke Skywalker saga and Anakin Skywalker saga. So I think that aside from the differences in the type of storytelling that can be done, this also opens up ways to bring in different directors, different producers, people who might be more experimental or more in tune with a certain type of storytelling without having to put the entire saga at risk, nor putting those directors in a place where they're not really comfortable because it's not really the story they want to tell. So that being the case, I think Joss Whedon would be a perfect fit for this. I mean, a lot of people look at Firefly and Serenity as what it would be like to have a different take on the Han Solo smuggler sort of story. A quite different take with a much larger crew, but what do you think about this? Would you want to see Joss Whedon do a Star Wars film?
To be honest, I'm kind of torn on the subject.
Okay. What's tearing you?
On one hand, I love Firefly, mm-hmm. and anything that could be similar, any elements of Firefly that could be put into Star Wars or combined, I'm all for. And if it was stuff like that, okay, all for it.
Okay.
But I'm not, I mean, you know, we've seen his Marvel stuff.
Wow. You say that with such trepidation. Not a fan,
Okay. I liked The Avengers.
Okay.
Did not think it was perfect. Was not... Because did he do the original Avengers or just Age of Ultron?
He did the original one. The
original, didn't he? He did, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the original. Age of Ultron was eh. I liked it better than most people, but it was still eh.
There were some other issues going on with Age of Ultron, though, that were not just related to Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
But I see what you're saying, and I agree.
But
Serenity was a good film.
Yes, I love Serenity. But
I never watched Buffy, so I can't attest to that. I think it would be great. I would be really excited to see a Joss Whedon Star Wars film, because if nothing else, Joss Whedon gets characters and mm-hmm. he gets, he understands putting characters in challenging predicaments and then, you know, wrestling a compelling story out of that, that both moves the story along and the characters themselves. I think Joss Whedon would be a great pick. I don't know that I would want him doing the main saga.
No. I see. I think he's too,
Whedon-esque.
I think he is too specific.
Yeah.
When you say, oh, that's a Joss Whedon movie, they're like, oh, okay.
It does evoke a certain understand, like when you, like what you just implied there, it's a Joss Whedon movie. Oh, okay. That means this, like everybody gets that.
And I would kind of hope that he would bring maybe something. Yeah. Obviously his own flair to the Star Wars universe, but also something, something more than just a Joss Whedon movie, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, there'd be a, I've already seen like all of Twitter when this came out pretty much was like, no one wants to see a movie by him.
What?
Like, why? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get into it, but I think it's more about personal reasons plus Age of Ultron that people don't,
like, yeah.
I mean, have to remember Twitter ran him off that platform. So,
yeah, people understood back that there was more going on with Age of Ultron than what appeared to be on the surface, as far as the stuff going on behind the scenes that made things difficult. And
mm-hmm. I mean, I liked that movie when I finished watching it. It's not my favorite.
Good.
It's not perfect, but it was all right.
It was okay.
There's just like, you know, like you said, there are a lot of things that was wrong with it. It was not necessarily his call and his control, but,
right.
I honestly though, I kind of wouldn't mind. Part of me wants more proven names to direct the trilogy movies.
Right.
And give the anthology movies to people that may not necessarily fit with the trilogy. That being said, I know Whedon doesn't really fit with the main saga, and he would fit better with an anthology movie, but I feel like he's too well known and he would just, you know, like I said, not really bring anything new to the table, which I think if we want to get to a point where we're not like, oh, it's another Star Wars movie, or we're not seeing the same old, you know, same style in every other movie, you know? And right. I want different directors and diverse styles and not just run-of-the-mill action sci-fi space fantasy film.
Yeah. You know, you got to give him credit, though. He also agrees that he is not the right person for the sagas.
Yeah.
So you have to at least respect that on a personal level, that mm-hmm. he agrees. He gets it. But I have to agree with him. I think that for an anthology film, in fact, looking back at stuff he's done, I think that Rogue One, while it would be a different film, I think it would have worked fine in his hands. And I think the Han Solo film would also be fine in his hands. Because let's face it, while Rogue One is about an event, Han Solo is about a character, a very beloved character. And if nothing else, through the writing he's done in the past, we can see that he gets a character who is a rugged hero, yet also has kind of a sense of humor, but yet also has kind of a dark side. Like he gets that blend. So, well, we will have to see whether that ever actually happens. Speaking of Firefly related things and Joss Whedon related things. Alan Tudyk, who's playing K2SO, the reprogrammed security droid in Rogue One, apparently had another cameo in Rogue One as a fighter pilot. And it got cut. So in a recent interview, he said, I had a cameo. I just found out it got cut. Yeah, I guess it's a cameo. Ray Nearly. So the character that I play in Con Man, which is his own web series, which is awesome, by the way. So the character that I play in Con Man, sort of my alter ego in Con Man, had a role in Rogue One. I played a pilot and the scene got cut. I just found out. Did Ray Nearly survive? I was really looking forward to seeing a Ray Nearly in Star Wars, but truthfully, Ray Nearly would never get that good of a job, so it was probably pretty good that he didn't.
It's funny he asks here. He is asking if the character survives, because, as we know, when it comes to Alan Tudyk and space characters, not that good of a track record.
That's very true. Yeah. I don't know. I think it would have been cool to see Alan Tudyk's face in a Star Wars film too, instead of, you know, just his voice, but that's okay. It's still awesome. I'm still so glad he's associated with the film. And if you have not watched Con Man, you really need to watch Con Man. It's awesome.
Yep, I agree.
You can get it on, I think it's still on Vimeo. You can get it on iTunes now. It's very cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up the episode here. So is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
No, I think I'm pretty much good. I think.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I think that this is about as good as I've been for quite a while when it comes to Star Wars news. I mean, Donald Glover is Lando.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That made me feel so good when I saw that. I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't care what other Star Wars news comes out right now. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal to me. We're talking about the casting of a classic, beloved character, not a new character. All due respect to the people who were cast for Episode 7, who were all phenomenal. But here we have a known actor getting a role as a known character that everybody is expecting it's got to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be really upset if they don't nail this role. And I think this is a no-brainer. I think Donald Glover can easily do it.
So my question is this. Is it bad that we, at least as a fan base, are more excited about this casting than the one we got for Han Solo? Is that bad?
That's an excellent question.
I mean, I remember when that was announced at Celebration. Granted, we've known for months, but even when that was, even when that word first came out, everyone was like, "Oh, yay!" and whatever. Who's that guy?
I think the thing is
now that they're like, "Oh, Donald Glover, yay!"
But there's no
enthusiasm.
Like, none of the options for the Han Solo character really jumped out as, oh, that's the perfect dude for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Ehrenreich is going to do fine. As we see more stuff he's doing, it turns out I haven't seen all of the stuff he's done, but he appears to be a very competent actor. And I have a lot of trust in Lucasfilm. That's the other thing. It's not just blind trust either. You have to trust that they care enough about this property to not just toss this role to someone.
Mm-hmm.
They thought long and hard about who's going to get Han Solo. We might not be privy to all of those conversations, but this is not something where there were three people in the room like, oh, what do you think? That guy? Yeah, I like this guy better. Oh, okay, well, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we'll go with that guy. No, this was something like these people were like staying up awake at night, unable to sleep for weeks, making sure they got this right. So I trust them, but there's nothing, there are no actors out there that are really like, okay, it's just, it's got to be this guy. Lando is a uniquely portrayed character. When you look back at fiction over the last few decades, if you describe, if you say, okay, I'm thinking in my mind of a character who is suave, debonair, good with the ladies, a smooth talker, but also heroic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the more you describe, you're like, oh, Lando. He's, even though he didn't have that big of a role in the films, he did have that big a role in our fandom, in our hearts.
Yep.
And so did Han Solo, don't get me wrong. But there are a lot of people who could do Harrison Ford's smirk and do Harrison Ford's, oh shoot, I just turned the hyperdrive on and it's not working. What's going on? Chewie, get us out of here. But with Lando, there's a certain thing that you'd have to tap into as an actor to get that. And I think that's one of the reasons that Billy Dee Williams has been so protective of that character. I think that Donald Glover gets that. The guy hasn't done a lot of stuff and he hasn't done a lot of A-list stuff, but I'm telling you, this guy, he gets it. This is not someone to be underrated. So I think that that's why people are more excited about this, because the people who know Donald Glover, they get that he has everything that's needed to do Lando, and there doesn't really seem to be any other option that does. And so they know that Lucasfilm got it and didn't mess it up. With Han Solo stuff, we're not all that confident because we don't really know who would make a good Han Solo. So there you go. None of the options really seem like a shoe-in. With this, definitely a shoe-in. So I think that's why people are more excited about this one, because they're like, yes, I agree. They got it right. They know what they're doing. This guy is Lando. This is the young Lando.
Okay.
Should it worry us? I mean, it should worry us a little bit that there's also no shoe-in available for Han Solo, but I wouldn't be worried at Lucasfilm, and I wouldn't be worried about the movie as a result. It's just there was no obvious choice for that, whereas there is an obvious choice for Lando. But that's just our opinion. We'd love to know your opinions out there. So why don't you let us know? What do you think of Donald Glover being cast as Lando Calrissian? Was this the right move? Was there someone else that we maybe we're forgetting about that would be a better fit? Send us your feedback. Let us know. Shoot us an email at echobase@randomchatter.com.
And you can find us online at a variety of places. We have our Facebook account, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter at Echobase Podcast. The network Twitter is at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lou's Twitter, when he's here, is at Lusecki. That's Lusecki. Eric, what is your Twitter?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got the main flagship Random Chatter show. We've got the Outer Rim and Echo Base. We've got the shows by Josh and Jay, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, etc. We've got the Retro Convo. We got the Courtcast. And we now have Ghost Stories. That's not a Halloween thing. I know this is October. No, Ghost Stories, a Rebels podcast.
Which, if you're not listening, you probably should, because I said it on the last show, and I'll say it again. It's a wonderful, wonderful commentary, and I'm not just promoting them because they're on the network. It's seriously,
we would do that
very,
anyway.
Very, very good Rebels show.
Yeah, I'm still catching up with the actual episodes of Rebels, so I haven't been listening to all of the show. But of course, before we put something up on our network, as the network director, I check it out, and I was just like, oh yeah, no, we're totally going with this. These guys, they've got chemistry, they've got good insights. This is a good show. If you're watching Rebels, you need to be listening to Ghost Stories. Simple as that.
Yep. And you know, after you listen to Ghost Stories, let us know what you think of it. Leave reviews for us on iTunes as well as Stitcher, and tell all of your friends about how wonderful our network is or how bad it is. I mean, if
don't tell your friends about that part. Come on, Chris. You know, we've been talking for a while about the fact that we need to lock down a schedule. It looks like we now have an official recording schedule and an official live schedule as well. So Mondays and Thursdays, we are going to be doing live shows. You can stream those at randomchatter.com/live. There's a chat room you can participate in as well. So head over to Ustream, do a search for Random Chatter, or you can just, like I said, randomchatter.com/live. They'll give you the streaming interface, the chat interface right there in a webpage. We are probably going to continue starting at 9 p.m., but if you follow us on Twitter, that's going to be the best place to go to find out when we're streaming live. This is taking effect immediately. This is actually Monday night as we're recording Echo Base here, and then we've got Outer Rim and Random Chatter coming on Thursday night. We also have on Sunday nights, we have, it's not officially part of the Random Chatter Network because it's on my own Twitch account, but as kind of a spinoff of the Random Chatter Network, we're doing a community gaming night where instead of like me streaming some first person shooter and then just talking to the people who are in the chat room, this is where you get to participate in the game. You get to play in the game. Most of the games have 8 players available, and then audience members who are not one of those 8 players can also participate actively in the game as well. One of the games that we play there, it's called Quiplash, and think of it as a distant relative to Cards Against Humanity. But you can now do customized theme packs, so we've been running a Star Wars-themed Quiplash game. So, if you'd like to check that out, Sunday night, again, generally around 9 p.m. Eastern. We may start a little earlier if we are able to. And again, follow us on Twitter, and you'll be able to participate in that as well. But we do have plenty of live stuff going on, so stay tuned.
And last but not least, you can support us on Patreon. You can find more information about that at patreon.com/randomchatter. We're actually doing a bit of a revamp upgrade type
yes.
of sorts to Patreon pretty soon. So if you want to wait for that, have at it. but that's one way that that we are able to keep the network afloat. And we can't thank the wonderful donors enough for all of their help with that.
Yes. Yeah, no, we've definitely got some changes coming up to the perks. Additions, not bad things. We've got good changes coming up to the perks, coming up very soon. We just have to kind of get together and
unique creative ideas.
Yeah. I like to think of them that way. We just have to, sit down, the three of us and kind of finalize it. If this rough draft that we've got is anything to go on, it's going to be some good stuff. So I predict that by the end of this week, we will have more news on that. So stay tuned. And that's it. That's going to do it for this week of Echo Base. Lou did not get back in time, so I guess we're going to close the doors on him. But that's okay. He's got a tauntaun. He can slice open. He'll just have to shower when he gets back. All right. So that's it. We will see you next week here at Echo Base. Take care.
The Force will be with you always.